Good evening, everybody. Let's talk a little bit about the very interesting character mentioned in our Mishnah, Avashal ben Butnis. You have the Wikipedia entry in front of you, which you can look through if you want. You also have a Wikipedia entry for Yishmael ben Fabus, or ben Faibi, or ben Fahi, or as we'll learn a little bit about him. And I figured we would talk about Avashal ben Butnis, when he lived. We'll touch on a little bit where his name may have come from, although that's a side point. But mainly we're trying to pinpoint when he lived, is the purpose of this year and what we can find out about him. There are there are a couple of other Ma'amari Chazal that mention him, that are mentioned in Rabbi Hyman's article, not on the source sheet necessarily, though. We'll begin with, you just have to sort through that. Okay, that's the source sheet. Okay. So, let's begin with the Wikipedia article to just pull out some of the important points of it, okay? Main point, he was a Tana of the latter period of the Second Temple of Jerusalem. He says approximately two generations before the Temple's destruction. You can see him, by the way, in the first generation of Tanaim. If you look at this table that's right below, written in small print, I had that there so you can compare when he lived relative to others who we're going to discuss, like, we'll point out a few as we go through it. Abba Yossi ben Hanan, who's in the third generation. We'll talk about various Tanaim in terms of when Avashal ben Butnis may have lived relative to them. And it quotes, basically, the rest of the article is quoting a couple of Ma'amarim of Avashal ben Butnis from Chazal. It talks about our Gemara. It talks about another Gemara, which we're going to see as well. And the Yishmael ben Favus we'll get to back when it's time for that. From our Gemara, what details do we know about Avashal ben Butnis? Can anybody tell us from our Gemara in Beitza?
He's a merchant,
okay.
He learns all day.
So far, two very important biographical notes. Do we know when he lived from our Mishnah?
Around...
Anybody want to read the relevant portion of the Mishnah or the relevant portion of the Gemara? Because the Gemara quotes a story about him. Right? Afu kana shalosh meos. Does anybody want to read the Mishnah or the Gemara?
The time of the Beit HaMikdash, because he goes to the Beit HaMikdash.
Very good. That's a really, really important detail. as we'll see from different sources how that story is portrayed, but in the Gemara, the way that we have the version of the story, he actually goes to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Gizbarim. Okay, which would mean that he lives before the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed.
The second
Beit HaMikdash, yes. We're talking about Tanaim, not... So he lives before the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. We don't know how early he lives before the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. It could be very, very much before that. He's a Tana, clearly of some sort, but we don't have any more of an indication than that. We'll see different sources, again, that discuss this in greater detail or with different details and try to piece things together. So let's start with probably the most important source and one of the most reliable sources in terms of dating Avashal ben Butnis. There's a story in a Mishnah in Shabbos. Again, I keep on forgetting to put source numbers on these sheets. I don't know what's with me. It's only this year for some reason. But let's start with the first source, Mishnah Shabbos, Chafdalet Hey.
He lived before the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Must have been a very, very old man at that point in time. Because if he's already second generation or of...
So I'm saying this is what Wikipedia says, but let's ignore it. We're going to try to figure out when he lived.
Was Rabbi Akiva around the Gamaliel III around the time of the second Beit HaMikdash destruction?
So they were after that. They were just after that. Rabbi Akiva, right, is alive and famously associated with
Bar Kokhba,
right? Yeah. That's significantly after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But let's try to figure things out on their own. So let's begin. Okay? Umasa bimei aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok. There's a story with the father of Rabbi Tzadok. Ubimei Avashal ben Butnis. And in the days of Avashal ben Butnis, shepakeku es hama'or betefiach. Basically, it's talking about closing windows on Shabbos. For most of these sources, we're not going to get into the halachic details of what's going on, but we're simply going to use the Mishnayos as a method of trying to figure out more and more details about Avashal ben Butnis. This Mishnah seems to tell us that there was a story in the days of Rabbi Tzadok's father and Avashal ben Butnis, which seems to imply that they lived at the same time, or were leaders at the same time. The question is, when did Rabbi Tzadok's father live? Anybody know when Rabbi Tzadok lived? Anybody know any details about Rabbi Tzadok?
Was he the guy who Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tried to save?
Right.
Yes, I believe he was. I believe he was. So he was correct.
Time of destruction.
He lived at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Abba Shaul is contemporary with his father. We're going to see a couple of sources. Number one, if you look, let's say, to the third source, the Gemara in Gittin, Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Tzadok Yosef Arba'in Shnin B'Ta'aneza Delo Lecharev Yerushalayim. So we know Rabbi Tzadok, who, again, we're saying was might have been asked to be saved, actually, at the very least, lived for 40 years of adulthood before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the Gemara talks about he sat for Arba'in Shnin B'Ta'aneza in order that the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed. So that puts him as some sort of leader, probably for 40 years prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara there talks about how it was so skinny that if you eat something, you could, you know, see it on the outside, so to say. And we say it like that. So that's one indication of when Rabbi Tzadok lived. So sometime around the destruction, Rabbi Tzadok certainly lived prior to the destruction. His father may have been a little bit before that. But what's also interesting is, let's take a look at source number two, Talmud Bavli, Maseches Moed Katan, Chaf Amud Aleph. Mase umeis aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok beginzak. Rabbi Tzadok's father died in Ginzak. Vehodi'uhu la'achar shalosh shanim. They told Rabbi Tzadok 3 years after his father passed away that his father had passed away. Clearly he hadn't heard about that. And guess what happens? Uva v'shal es Elisha ben Avuya. So he went to the Gadol Hador, to Elisha ben Avuya at that time. Elisha ben Avuya was also somewhere around the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the generation before, which famous Tana?
Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Meir, right? Because he was Rabbi Meir's Rebbe. So that puts things a little bit later on. If you look, you can see, you know, Rabbi Meir is in what they call the fourth generation here, back on the other side of your sheet, okay, on the first side of the sheet, which would put Elisha ben Avuya in the third generation. They put Rabbi Tzadok in the second generation, and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon in the third generation, and they have Abba Shaul ben Batnis in what they call the first generation. So all this, if we're going to rely on this Mishnah in Shabbos, so we have something that's truthfully not 100%. We know that it's Bimei Aviv Shaul Rabbi Tzadok and Bimei Abba Shaul ben Batnis, but we don't know really when in their lifetimes this was, and if we're trying to get a more precise idea of when these both lived. Number two, and I don't think this is pshat, but it's always possible to say something like this, Bimei such and such and Bimei such and such doesn't necessarily mean the same time. In all likelihood, it does, but I'm just saying, if I were to come up with a source that said, you know what, this is impossible, I would be totally okay to say, you know, it happened then, and it happened then, once in the days of Avishol Rabbi Tzadok, and once in the days...
Same thing about 40 years, the process of 40 years. 40 might be an exaggeration, which is more up and down.
In a Hanami, but we know that he clearly lives right before the Korban. I don't disagree.
That so-and-so was a Talmud of this guy. It didn't necessarily mean he was a direct Talmud of his. It could have been, just followed in his...
Right, meaning it can skip a generation. He heard Mishmo. Yes, right. Yes. And that I think is an important principle to operate on, meaning we're not tied down by something like this to the extreme. Because we're going to see a lot of very interesting, sources now. Let's take a look at this Tosefta and Menachos. Fascinating Tosefta and Menachos. Talking about the Kohanim Gedolim and their families who were in power before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody know anything about them?
What's a Tzuker Mandel?
Tzuker Mandel was the person who put out that version of the Tosefta.
The Kohanim were in power?
Kohanim and Kohanim Gedolim. What do we know about them?
The Tobias family are you talking about?
So there were a few families.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
There were a few families.
You mean that the ones who bought Correct. Rome as a Kohen?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about?
Right. So we're going to get to a very interesting Tosefta. It says in Tosefta, Elu val kiyotzi ben val domelhen val osin ki ma'aseyen haya Abba Shaul ben Batnis ve Abba Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim omer. Abba Shaul ben Batnis and Abba Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim used to say, Oli mi base baisus, oli me alasan, oli mi base kadrus, oli mi komosan, oli mi base elchanan, oli mi base lechishasan, oli mi base elisha, oli me egrofan, oli mi base ishmael ben faivi, Shem Kohanim Gedolim Uvnehem Gizbarim Vichasnehan Amarkalin Vavdehan Bain Vichovtin Alenu Bimatlos. These people were terrible, corrupt people. They would beat other people, they would make demands. These were really the worst of the worst. This is actually, if you look back in the Wikipedia article, this is what they quote. Here's the translation. Woe is to me because of the house of Bises. Yes, correct. Tzadok and Bises. Woe to me is me because of their staves. Woe is me because of the house of Chanin. Woe is me because of their whisperings. Woe is me because of the house of Kathros. Woe is me because of their pens. Woe is to me because of the house of Ishmael, the son of Fabi. Woe is to me because of their fists. For they are high priests, and their sons are temple treasurers, sons law trustees, their servants beat the people with staves. And Josephus makes note that during the high priesthood of Ishmael ben Fabi, his servants would forcibly remove tithes from the thrashing floors, what had been given voluntarily before him. Meaning, this is corroborated, this is happening somewhere around 50-60 CE, okay, about 10-20 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is something that Abashol ben Butnis was talking about, it seems. Now, Ishmael ben Fabi himself, if we look, was actually also the Kohen Gadol from 15 CE to 16 CE under Valerius Gratus. And it's a machlokas if someone by the same name or if he himself was reinstated by Agrippas in 58 CE, which he would have been quite young in his first term as Kohen Gadol and quite old in his second term as Kohen Gadol. But nevertheless, people do think it may be the same person. And this is the type of person who Abashol ben Butnis is talking about. Now, who's his partner in making this claim? Has anybody heard of the name Abba Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim? It should be familiar from a very important text.
Pirkei
Avos. Pirkei Avos, very good. Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim was one of the earlier Zugos. That's way, way, way earlier. That's a few generations earlier. Now, maybe you can make the stretch that if he was born around the beginning of his time, then maybe, you know, if he lived a really long time, if Tzadok's father might have known him, maybe you could make that argument. But it does seem a little bit bizarre. However, if you look in the Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara in Pesachim actually quotes this with a different name. Aleim v'alkayotzi b'hem, if you look in Pesachim, this was the translation of before. They didn't have the Tosefta in there, but they did quote it. They did quote the Gemara. Aleim v'alkayotzi b'hem, amar Abba Shaul ben Butnis mishum Abba Yosef ben Chanin. Rather than being Abba Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim, this has Abba Yosef ben Chanin. Okay, Abba Yosef ben Chanan is spelled in different places. And again, Oilim v'beis Baisus, Amil Asan, v'beis Chanin, Amil Tlishasan, Kastros, Kulmusan, v'beis Yishmael ben Fati, Grofan, etc., etc., etc. You'll notice slight changes in the language, as we'd expect in two different sources that are so old, and some of which have not been worked on around for people many centuries. This would make a lot more sense. Abba Yosef ben Chanan, or ben Chanin, seems to have lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps he was born beforehand. They put him here in the third generation. If you see the last Tana of the third generation is Abba Yosef ben Chanan, who is the same as Abba Yosef ben Chanin. And I brought you something from Tosefta and Sukkah if you want to see a good example of something that he says, where he seems to be talking about. He's talking to other people that lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're talking about what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. The point is to say with this that he seems to be a little bit later than we'd expect, and the Gemara tells us that it's Mishum Abba Yossi ben Chanin, that Abba Shaul ben Butnis is saying this is what Abba Yosef ben Chanin says. Mm-hmm. This would make me personally lean towards saying that he was probably at a later point of the Aviv Shel Rabbi Tzadok, meaning he was, you know, the young rising star when Aviv Shel Rabbi Tzadok was in a ripe old age, which again, as we know, that was sometime very close to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because Elisha ben Avuya was the Gadol Ador then. And yes, he heard things from Abba Yosef ben Chanin. He was also someone who may have been younger than him, granted. But it's possible that he would transmit something in his name, even though he was still alive. It is important to point out, I went through, for almost all the Gemaras, or maybe all the Gemaras on here, I went through Friedberg's manuscript portal to check all the different Gersos of the Gemaras. There are sometimes different Gersos that appear in other sources, like, as you can see, the Tosefta versus the Gemara. But I wanted to see the Gemaras themselves. Are there different Gersos? The answer in this case, and this is the only case really where there's any possibility of difference, it has Abba Shaul ben Butnis ve Abba Yosef ben Chanin, just like we have in the Tosefta and Menachos, ve Abba Yossi ben Yochanan. Which again, Yossi ben Yochanan, Yossi ben Hanin are quite close together. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, this is something they both used to say. And certainly we know that Abishol ben Butnis would certainly fit to be around the time that the Kohanim Gedolim and their families would be abusing power. And therefore, it's really not bizarre to see them both together. However, if we say that he's quoting from Abba Yossi ben Hanin, then we would assume that he's slightly later. You might move him to the second generation or third generation of Tanaim on this chart over here.
I mean, you have the possibility that the whoever put together that segment of the Bavli, based on the Tosefta, and the Tosefta may be the original.
Well, certainly the... Yeah, I mean, the Gemara is quoting something. The question is, with all of these texts, we don't really know well which one represents sort of an earlier, more authentic source, for a few reasons. The only thing that we know is that since the times that these were written down, the Bavli has been subject to more sort of scrutiny and more discussion over these points. That's really the only thing that we know. But it's true. Anything that we're going to say is a, you know, conjecture about a Gemara, about a Tosefta, about a Mishnah, or anything like that, is really not going to be supported by manuscripts going back beyond 1,000 years ago. So we really only have 1,000 years of evidence on differing traditions, but we don't know about anything before then.
Okay, all I'm trying to say is the fact that they're giving two different times is one could be... I'm not saying which is the older or more original manuscript,
mm-hmm.
but that's why you have two different dates. And the fact, so someone who is academic would look at this backwards
mm-hmm.
and say that based on your other facts that it appears that Abba Shaul lived during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it would assume that the Bavli is altered it slightly, the Tosefta. It's based on the Tosefta and altered the Tosefta, and so that you can't use that for the dating. But you see,
or in the reverse, what we would say is someone was copying down the Tosefta and saw Abba Yossi ben Hanan, who they'd never heard of, and they said, "Oh, this must be Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim." That's another way to look at it. It's the reverse essentially of what you're saying. But
it all depends which has more backup. In other words, which has more sources putting in that one time frame.
Correct. And clearly, it's going to be the sources that have a later point in history, as we will see and as we have seen so far. Again, even saying that he's b'mei Aviv Shel Rabbi Tzadok would still put him a lot later than Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim. Although, we do know that Abba Shaul ben Butnis lived in Yerushalayim, as we'll see. Skip the next source for now, the Mishnah and Kelaim. I meant to put it after the next set of sources. Let's jump down, before we get back to our story, let's take a look at the Gemara Nedarim, second to last source. Rav Shimon Barebi, and this story we'll read because it's a cool story. Rav Shimon Barebi, Havalein Nidra Lemishra. Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, okay, so Rehuda Hanasi's son. So Rehuda Hanasi is sort of the last generation. He's the fifth generation of Tanaim on this chart. So his son, Havalein Nidra Lemishra, he had a neder that he wanted to be matir. Asa lekamayhu, the rabbi came in front of the rabbis. Amru Leita said to him, Nadras Adaita Dahachi, did you make the neder with this in mind? Which is right, you need to find sort of something that the person didn't think of when they made the neder in order to be matiret. So they asked him, did you think of this? Amar in. Adaita dahachi in. Kama zimnin. Vavumitstari rabbanan mishimsha letula umitula leshimsha. And the rabbanan were tearing their hair out over this. It's, and they walk from the sun to the shade, and the shade to the sun, and the sun to... And they can't get over it. Everything they're trying to come up with as a reason why to be matir this neder doesn't work. Or leshnachrin. Adaita dahachi in. Kama zimnin. Vavumitstari rabbanan mishimsha letula leshimsha. Okay? Amarli Butnis braid to Abba Shaul ben Butnis. Butnis, Abba Shaul ben Butnis's son, named after his grandfather, clearly. Minadris adaita de mitzari rabbanan mitula l'shimsha mishimsha l'tula. He says, did you know the rabbis were going to have such a tough time being matir this neder? Did you have that in mind? He seems he had everything in mind. Did you have that in mind? Amarli lo v'sharuye. He said no, and they matir this neder. First of all, it's a hilarious story. But it actually comes to show you, it's a good lesson. But putting aside the lesson for now, what does this tell us about Abba Shaul ben Butnis? This, I would say, is a very important source. In what way?
He's creative, and he lends to...
Well, this is about his son, remember. This is Bray.
Oh, so what does it tell us about his father? Why tells anybody about his father?
It does tell us about when he lived.
Oh, when he lived.
Because who's he talking to here?
He's talking about. So you're talking. This sounds like he lived.
This is after the Rebbe's generation.
Yeah.
Right. So we know that his son would have lived after the Churban. But the question is how far.
Could be a grandson also.
Ah. So now we're going to start with, does Bray mean grandson? And the truth is, that's going to be a very strong argument to make here, in the sense that anybody named Butnis is going to be some sort of descendant of Avishal ben Butnis. You didn't have, clearly, a bunch of Butnises running around, and therefore it would be easy for the Gemara to say, maybe it's a descendant, maybe Bray means descendant. You could also say that it was originally, you know, ben Bino, maybe it was his grandson, maybe it was, you know, Mibnei Banav. You know, you can discuss that type of thing. To say that his son could have been an elderly man when you had a young Reb Shimon bar Rebbe who was doing sort of little things like this is also not inconceivable. It's quite far-fetched. Certainly if we're saying he lived in the generation of Avivshor Rebbe Tzadok, his son is not living six generations later, or five generations later. On the other hand, to say if, let's say, he lived in the second or third generation, to say that his son might have been one of the elder sages who people were going to for cases like this, you know, 80 or 100 years later, is not so crazy. Is not so crazy. I think it's defensible still, but this will stretch, and we can come on to some sort of answer like, you know, again, Butnis was not necessarily his son, it might have been his grandson, his great-grandson, And Rabbi Hyman will also give another answer to stuff like this. The last section I wanted to talk about is the different versions of our Gemara. Okay, version from the Yerushalmi, a version from the Tosefta. So we had talked about Avishal ben Butnis going to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore dating him prior to the Churban. So let's take a look at the Tosefta. This is the Lieberman version, but could have brought the Zuckerman version as well. Beitza Gimel Ches, and we'll also take a look at the Yerushalmi. Those are the sources above what we just saw. Amru Alav al Rab Lezer ber Rabbi Tzadok ve'al Abashol ben Batni. So first of all, who is he together with? Who's he grouped together with here? Not Rabbi Tzadok. Not Rabbi Tzadok's father, but Rabbi Tzadok's son. So again, if we are to say that the first Mishnah and Shabbos that we saw is either two separate times, or really, again, Avishal was the rising star as Avivshor Rebbe Tzadok was, you know, getting towards his demise, that might work together. And it says, Shayu chenvanin b'Yerushalayim kol yemei chayehen. And now we get into trouble. What does kol yemei chayehen mean?
Their entire lives.
What does that mean then? Does Avishal ben Butnis live through the Churban then?
No.
Can't live through the Churban if he's living in Yerushalayim his whole life. Right. No one's in Yerushalayim after the Churban.
Well, that's not exactly true.
Well, I mean, in general,
The evacuation of Yerushalayim, as far as I knew, occurred after the Merit Bar Kocha, which was 65 years after the Churban. Right. Because where were all these Tanaim after the Churban Beit HaMikdash? Right, they were somewhere in Yavne.
In Yavne.
They weren't all in Yavne. And some of them
was Yerushalayim still a populated place?
Well
I seem to remember that they, right, they were, didn't they, weren't they Mav Reshair and things like that?
The Jews were still there until Vespasian, not Hadrian, did Ayuma Capitolina.
Like he raised Yerushalayim.
Right, but when did he raise it?
Was that was quite a bit after.
It was quite a bit after? Okay, I thought it was
Bar-Kokhba.
That was a response to Bar-Kokhba.
I think so.
Well, Jews were still there. But
Ayuma Capitolina became, after, I thought, after the marriage.
But they weren't allowed to go up to the Beis HaMikdash.
The
wasn't the Beis HaMikdash to go to. There was no Gizbarin. That's for sure.
They made a miscalculation, the Romans. They thought that if they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, that's all they had to do to destroy the capacity of the Jewish people to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize that that even without the Beit HaMikdash, they were willing to rebel. So initially, the Romans didn't expel all. They destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. They took maybe
a lot of Jews captive,
but
there were still a significant population of Jews. I would have thought that most of them, if not all of them, were gone at that point.
I thought Rabbi Akiva
and that there was a relocation.
Just ask another question. How could he have been a merchant after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash when, you know, people were driven into serious poverty? I mean, there really was no economy left at that point other than poverty.
Right, that could have been. Okay, I thought it was closer to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that the Jews were almost all are in, you know, entirely exiled. But okay, so it doesn't raise such an issue. The point is, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, in our Mishnah, who says, who responds in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, not in this Tosefta. Who testifies as to what happened with Abishol ben Batnis in our Mishnah?
Chachamim, right?
Well, Chachamim doesn't really help me. Someone else does.
Rabbi Chanina Omer.
No. Look in the Mishnah. You guys have it in front. Not on the source sheet, but you have it in the Gemara in front of you. There's the Machlokas in the beginning of the Mishnah between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Then we bring Abishol ben Batnis in the story. And who talks about what Abishol ben Batnis would have done when? There's two opinions as to when he even would have done this.
So one is a Chacham and the other one doesn't really say.
It does.
Rabbi Yehuda.
Nope.
You have the right Mishnah there?
I have it here. Who's the... Yeah,
start from Abishol ben Batnis.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. So who testifies about Abishol ben Batnis? Abishol. No, not necessarily the same one. The assumption seems to be that this is not Abishol ben Batnis saying he even used to do that on these days. The assumption is
it's another
Abishol, the other Abishol, who was a later Tana. I don't know, do they have him on this thing here?
Sure they do.
He was, if you look, Abishol is a fourth generation.
Right.
So Abishol is saying, it's true, he even used to do this, right? Af b'moed, af b'chol, right? So Abishol, the fourth generation Tana, is testifying as to what Abishol ben Batnis was doing. So that's in our Mishnah. Here, it's Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Okay? And in the Yerushalmi's version, it's Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. Both of those, again, were fairly later fourth and fifth generation Tanaim. And therefore, in each case, it's someone from that time, from the fourth or fifth generation, that was testifying, Abishol ben Batnis used to do such. He used to, Af b'chulo shel moed haya osim kein v'pnei mitzvi hamidos, or v'pnei betel beis hamedrash. So if you look through all of those sources, this also seems to give an indication that maybe he was a little bit later. Because again, these fourth and fifth generation Tanaim are testifying as to what Abishol ben Batnis was doing. Now again, you could say this is a little bit after the Churban. What I'm getting at is to say,
Chanina ben Antigonus, you would think, would date him back in time.
No, Chanina ben Antigonus. I checked up in other sources. Did I not bring on here?
Even if you're not talking about Antigonus Yisocho,
There was a Mishnah in Bechoros that I thought I copied on here. I must not have copied, dating Chanina ben Antigonus to arguing with the other later, I think it was maybe Rekivan or Remeir in the Mishnah there, I forget.
It wouldn't be unusual for the later Tanaim to use the name Antigonus. Antigonus is a very Greek name.
Right.
And the Greek Empire, you know, fell apart 300 years before or something.
I had a Mishnah. If you look it up, Mishnah, it's Bechoros, I think, Perek Zion, Mishnah Hay. There he argues with these later Tanaim.
Even the Amorian. In Babel, so some of them had Greek names, like Tarfon.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, the point is to say, in each of these three versions, our Mishnah, as well as the Tosefta, as well as the Yerushalmi's story, we have someone later saying over something they saw from Abishol, and bringing everything together from all these sources, we seem to see the earliest possible dating is alongside Yosef ben Yochanan and Yishu Shalayim. We've said that there's reason to consider that questionable, because all of the other sources seem to put him later. In the days of Aviv Shor Rabbi Tzadok, is the second earliest source, and we said as a possibility he would have been very young when Aviv Shor Rabbi Tzadok was, in his older age, and perhaps that would place him in the probably second, third generation of Tanaim, which would then make it technically possible that A, all of these stories, Elisha ben Avuya coming after the death of Avishor Rabbi Tzadok and being the God Alador then. And if you look, Rabbi Meir actually has Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok say something over in his name in the Mishnah Kalayim. That's the only source we didn't see yet, is, you know, two-thirds down the page, Mishnah Mesechus Kalayim Perek Zayin, I forgot which Mishnah it was, I should have put that on there, I'm sorry. But Rav Meir, in talking about halacha of Kilayim, actually has Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok say something over in the name of Rabbi Meir. Now again, they could have been contemporaries, and if the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi are both saying that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, and Avishal ben Batnis were at the same time, again, these are things that are pulling him later and later and later rather than earlier and earlier. On the other hand, he clearly lived at some point of his life before the Churban. Now, might he have been 25 years old at the Churban? Maybe. So it's these type of things that I would tend to move him probably towards a middle generation. And if things schlep out enough, you might even be able to argue that Butnis was his son in the story in Maseches Nedarim, that Butnis was his son, and Rav Shimon bar Revi as a young child, meaning still in the fifth generation, if Avishal himself lived in the third generation, Avishal's son would live in the fourth generation, and it's possible that he could have still been sort of the big Rosh Hashiva, almost, at that time. You know, you can talk about it, you can agree, you can disagree. That's what I wanted to present. This Talmud LeBeit Sefer Vila'am for Beitza says Avishal ben Batnis, he says he probably lived around 20 to 80, meaning he died about 10 years after the Churban. It says his mother was a Gioras, he's called by her name, that's not clear. Hayachavro Shel Rabbi Elazar Rusadik Arishan, which we're going to talk about right now. I thought after that, so again, my conclusion would be to place him in the second, third generation. Again, having lived a little bit before the Churban, and perhaps continuing to live in Yerushalayim post-Churban, but generally placing him with sort of the later sources that we have here. I was very impressed, though, by Rabbi Hyman's construction.
I think it makes a lot more sense that he was much earlier than that, and he was a very old man at the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, if he was even alive at that point in time.
Right. Why?
Because, just based on the people that he was related to, and, you know, because the construction really took place much later than mm-hmm. the next generation, or
right.
two generations.
Right, and I think you can make a strong argument for that. The other argument that I was going to make is that you have a raya, an excellent raya from our Gemara, which no one's brought up yet, as to when he lived. So the one questionable saying is the one that I'm going to examine now is the Gemara in Psachim. Psachim nun Zion, right, is where he tells over, oyli mi beis baisus, oyli mi beis this, oyli mi beis that, which, as we said, is probably happening 50-60 CE, is probably happening before the Beis HaMikdash is... Well, we know it's happening before, but it's probably happening not long before the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And he is clearly a man, at some point, who is saying, ay, 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 look at like the Yeridas Hadiris of nowadays. And how do we know that that wasn't when he was a young man? Bring a raya from our Gemara. Because in our Gemara, how does the story go? The story goes that he was Kones Shalosh Meos Gar Beyayin, which is probably not something that happens in a day, of all the Mitzri Hamidos. And where does he take it? He takes it to the Beis HaMikdash. And where does he go in the Beis HaMikdash? Who does he go to? In our Gemara. You have it there open in front of you, at the bottom of the Amud. And the rest of you have it in front of you in the... in the Tosefta, in Beitza. Yeah, yeah? In the bottom of the Gemara?
The
Gizbarim, yes. They took them to the Gizbarim. Now, for someone who said, Uvnehem Gizbarim v'chasnehen Amar Kalin, do you think that's the type of person I would take my tzedakah money to? I would take my shilas to those Gizbarim? No way in the world. So clearly, this story of Abishol and our Gemara must be from an earlier point in his life before you had such corrupt leadership in the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that is an indication to say that, yes, you know, let's push back the later sources, and we can play with some of the yourselves here, we can play with some of the sources there, and we will get to a conclusion similar to what you were suggesting, and similar to what Rabbi Hyman suggests over here in Toldos Tanaim V'Amoraim. Let's read inside what he has to say about this. So here is page 1, and here is page 2, 1107, 1108. If anybody doesn't have, I still have a couple of copies. And we'll see the way that he constructs this, as well as an important detail that we didn't discuss because we are not him and we don't know this stuff. Okay, Avishal ben Batnis. So here's the first line. Hu hayazman rav kodem churban habayis. So that's a good way to start out. He says he lived a long time before the churban. How long is a long time? Well, let's find out. B'keyadua sherabi tzadok haya kvar zakein, or kaved zakein, bizman hachur, banchesan arbaim shana. So he brings the raya that we brought, that Rabbi Tzadok was a very elderly man at the time of the Korban. Ve'abashol hayachaver im avi Rabbi Tzadok. And before Shabbos, that's just a parakaf dalad. Mishnah is not parakaf bay, it's parakaf dalad. Ma'aseh b'mei avi shol Rabbi Tzadok v'mei abashol ben banshe paku esamar. Okay? Then he quotes an interesting shita, which basically says that he didn't know what he was talking about. Which is, what?
Wow.
Which is Yomar Shebinyane Tuma Loha Yamakbit Kolkach. It's the Rashi Tevos is escaping me right now. It's one of these Seder Hadoros type Svarim. I forget which one it is. I don't know why.
I was just going to ask what Seder Doros has to say about it.
He doesn't add much to what we've discussed. To what we've discussed. He does bring an interesting possibility as to a certain read, but I'm not going to get into that here. Because you do need to deal with some of the yourselves of these Gemaras. No matter how you cut it, we see at this point he should have lived for 150 years, right? Between all the different things that we've associated and all the different sources. Clearly not all of them are correct. I mean, we have so many different versions of the same story, but they're all approximately at the same time. Anyways, the point is to say, right, Chilgal said, when in one Yomar, Shebinyane Tuma Lohaya Makbid Kokach, Aval Hechan Matzah Hamazesh Lohaya Makbid Yani Tuma. Hello, Asa Kidin came before Shambi Gemara. I mean, the Gemara seems to have viewed him very positively. Where did they get this idea that he wasn't Makbid on Tuma? As he says, is beyond me. Okay. Now he says like this, Ushneim Hanuchen Vanim Birushalayim, Kirushami Beitza Perakim Alachaches, and as we saw in the Tosefta, Masa Barabalazar Rabitzadok Vavashol Ben Batnish, Shayuchen Vanim Birushalayim Vayimalim Midoseim. So he says, is the story with the Relazar Rabbi Tzadok? Now what's going on? Where is Relazar Rabbi Tzadok? How does that have to do with Avishur Rabbi Tzadok? We shall see. He then quotes the Tosefta and Beitza, which we said. Uv Tosefta Beitza Perik Yemol Mefurish Yoser. Amr Olav al Relazar Rabbi Tzadok val Avishol ben Batnish Ayuchen v'Mishulayim, quote unquote, kol yemei chayayim. As we said, Amar Lahem. You don't need to do this. Amar Lahem. In Ritzonenu Bahem. We don't want them. Amar Lahem. Hol vechmartem alatzvachem. We shall see where hein yasu v'emzer acheravim, which is what our Gemara quoted. And it says, "Move amaisa b'ksara beitzah chaftes shabbat solven batnis kana shalosh meskarayan b'burei amidos ukfar be'arti be'erech." Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, she'ein ze b'no. This is not the son of Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok, Shehaya Bishasa Chorban, Ach Avi Rabbi Tzadok, Sheshmo Gamkin Haya, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok. So he helps us out in saying that, which he seems to be contemporaries both with the father of Rabbi Tzadok and with the son of Rabbi Tzadok. He says that's actually a misunderstanding of our part. He says, if you look back at my entry in Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, I've proved that Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, in certain places in the Mishnah, is not actually the son of Rabbi Tzadok, but is actually the father of Rabbi Tzadok. Okay, so that's a very important detail. Now he's placed him squarely alongside the life of Rabbi Tzadok's father. Now, Rabbi Tzadok's father is dying sometime around the Churban, possibly even earlier. We don't know much about Elisha ben Avuya's childhood, but it seems that he was born pre-Churban and maybe even a leader pre-Churban as well. So it's something to keep in mind. Now we get to the next story. If Tosefta Menachos Sof Perek Yud Gimel, Avashol ben Batnis Vabayosi ben Yochanan Yerushalayim Omer, which we saw this source as well, Oyli Mibes Paisus, Mibes Kadrus, Mibes Elchanan, Mibes Yishmael ben Faivi, Shem Kwan, we don't name Gizbar, etc. Mubsachim ben Zayin, Visham Avashol ben Ranishim Avayosef ben Chanin. Vizei Yoser Noach, he says, I like the Gemara's version better, Ki Yosi ben Yochanan Yerushalayim Hayakadmon, Mehazugos, Shekibel Me Antigonus. Says he got it from Antigonus. He says, if he really lived at the time of Yosi ben Yochanan Yerushalayim, how would he have been alive to testify about Yishmael ben Faivi? Even though it's true, Yishmael ben Faivi did live, and there was a Kohen Gadol by that name, again, from 15 CE to 16 CE, as we know from other places. He doesn't consider that here. But, by the way, it shouldn't be that crazy to say either, but nevertheless, he says, He's much more comfortable with Abba Yosef ben Chanin. Now, we will note that he will have to, again, change the gears of that Gemara, because there Abba Shaul ben Batnis quotes it from Abba Yosef ben Chanin. Abba Yosef ben Chanin is also hard to place. I read the Wikipedia article and looked at a few of the sources that he appears in. Some people suggest, I think Hyman may even suggest there were two of him, Abba Yosef ben Chanan, or Chanin, depending on different versions, but... we're talking about someone around the time of the Churban, so he would say, yeah, it was in Avashol ben Batnis' old age that this happened. Okay.
If you go, instead of the Mishum, you have the other version that says Vit.
Right.
So it works.
Right. And that's what I think he's going to have to go with. Now, he probably didn't know about that. I wasn't able to check Tiktuke's Sofrim for that, because I already checked the actual manuscripts. I didn't think that there was a necessity to check Tiktuke's Sofrim, which really only had access to one manuscript from those group, but maybe he has other versions as well, I don't know. Midvarav haprati matzinu b'Yerushalmi beitza peragimala lachachas, shefam achas chalav nechzul arvasinu levakro amrlo. Amrulo, Ru Yadi Shaisa, Regila Limdod, Biyosher, Uve Emes, Imkol Zehechaltiva. Okay, it's a story. He says if you want to know some stories about him, Ufti Rasam Niskaras Machos, Yud Bez, Shesiva Levano, Shivakro, Shikabro, Satachan, Margalosov, Shal Aviv, Viatiru Tchiles, Mi Afulaso, Yasiru Atsitsis, Mi Taliso. Things like that. But neither of these give us any indication as to when he actually lived, only that he was a good person that we consider significant. Over Nidarim Chapez, Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe, Ha Vale Nidra, Velo Yechon Latiru Amar Le Batnis Prey Davishol and Batnis Minadra said that to the Masari Dirabanan Amar Le Lo, Vihitiru. Vihine Davar Zei Efshar Bishum Ofen Leos. He says that's absolutely impossible. Sheben Abashol Ben Batnis Yecheb Bizman Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe? Uve Emes, and here this is something that we didn't see on the list where he's really bang on about this, I think. Be Rishalmi Nidarm Resh Perektes, Muva Masa Belashonazet. Rav Shimon lo Matza Pasach Lindidro, Achiba Echad Mizikne Galil, Ista Amram Rav Shimon Ben Elazar Hava, Umizan Aron Chagamli Rishalmi Hayasafik Mihu Sheitiru Le Rav Shimon, Umizan Yerbebir Shitzar Achlam Rav Bavli Amrali Badnis Mibne Banav Shalaba Shalban Badnis. Shekein ha'yalem be'kabbalah she'ostav zaken she'migalo ha'yashmo batnis v'neitzer migeza avashol ben batnis. So that's how he explains this. He says this must have been someone way many generations later, 4 or 5 generations later, because avashol ben batnis really did live. Maybe at the end of his life he got close to the Khorban, but this would put him somewhere, you know, being born around the beginning of the first century and dying sometime around the Khorban Abayis. Not like we said. I still think it's defensible to say that he lived later and to push his date later and to kvetch a little bit the beginning. The reason how I defend that against my raya that I brought to you just a few minutes ago, the raya that I brought again, was to say that we see he brought it up to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Gizbarim, so clearly he did trust them at that point in his life, and this was when he was already established storekeeper, where he had gathered 300 barrels from so many years of storekeeping. The answer is that not necessarily does every Girsa have him bring it up to the Gizbar. If you look in the Yerushalmi, who does he bring it to? This is the third to last source on the sheet, the one with Rabbi Chanina ben Akavia emphasized. It says, Afu kana sholosh meos chavios, v'chaveru kina sholosh meos chavios, amru lahem chachamim lo hayisin tzrichem lasos. There, there's no bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash altogether. So if we were to say that we wanted to date him again later, so the Abash, his son could be potentially, again, an elder at the time of Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe being a younger person, we could, again, fetch that raya as well, but this is sort of the literature you have to draw in order to place him. I think Hyman, Rabbi Hyman makes a very, very strong argument to putting him early, and especially since he is the expert in this field, he would probably know a lot better that Rav Lezer or Rabbi Tzadok was probably Rabbi Tzadok's father, in which case this is really, you know, something you don't have to stretch. Now, just to talk about two other points, very interesting. You don't have this last paper, I just wanted to summarize something on it. Where does the name Butnis come from? So, there's a source here that I forgot to write down. It was an article in Lishoninu, yeah? Sorry?
Doesn't Yaakov talk about Butnis?
Butnis? Butnim Ushkedim?
He says, the Minchi says to bring to Yosef.
Yeah, Batnim Ushkedim. Not Batnis. Batnim. Right, so it could be.
Ashkenazi.
Right. No. We'll talk a little bit. I mean, there's a possibility that it comes from some sort of Hebrew word or other language word, which can be related to Beten. Aramaic, the verb based tes nun, actually means to become pregnant, relating to the word Beten. We'll talk about it in terms of places, but it could be that, right, Botnim, it could be that he was called that because he was a grocer, and that he would, you know, maybe sell Botnim. I don't know. I don't know if those grew in Yerushalayim at that time. I didn't see anybody suggest that. People are more concerned as to the place, and it's a very interesting theory he brings here in Lishoninu, which is a Ktaved, it's a journal. I forget who wrote the article. This is something I printed out earlier, with the information, and I couldn't find it right before I left, so I printed it out briefly as I left. So he quotes, Medderberg ve'ela churglu ha-chokrim, so from Derenberg and on, the chokrim started speaking, ke'al davar muskam, as if this is for sure 100%, she'aba shal ben badis haya ben isha ki yores, mi botna o mi bashan. So he says it's connected to the place that she was from. He says, why do people accept this? Mipnei Derenberg, who was, again, some choker of this sort, Matza o shnei tanaim, Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Hachoranis, both of whom end with is, and Shehayu kefiya nireh, b'nehen shel kioros, midamesek, correct, and mi chavaran. Hu chashav kefiya nireh, shehashim badnis gamkin mechuban leisha shatza mehamakom betonim, which is mentioned in Yehoshua. Ulam, he says, however, after you do makom zegam mitokva meucheres varayom, yesh batne, l'jomar of salt. I looked up some of these places. There are a few places that could possibly be identified with a name Botnis, which would fit in with this theory to say that when you had Tanayim, who were the children of Gerim or Gioros from certain cities, they were called Sidius, Ben Sidius, because they didn't want to mention the woman, they would say she was from the city. From the Gioros from the city of Damesek, from a Gioros from the city of Beten or Boten or Bashan. He takes issue with the Bashan one because Bashan in Aramaic is spelled with a taf, not with a tes. And he goes back and forth.
There was no city called Bashan, though, back then. It was Bashan.
Right. So, anyways, he brings...
Not during the times of the Decapolis, when they had the 10 Greek cities.
Right. He then brings an interesting raya from one of the sources that we didn't discuss. Right, it says that if you look in Rabbi Haim's article, "Turasa Niskras Machos Perikid Beis Shetiva Levanav Sheyikavru Oso Tachas Margalosav Shel Aviv." So he brings from someone else who told him, who pointed out to him, it's impossible that his mother was a Gioras and that his father was a Goy, because he'd never say, "Go bury me with my father." So that's a very, very. He says that's a very, very solid raya, and he says, "Shemidivrei Rabbi Shal Nira Sheaviv Nikbar Gamkin Baosam Makam Shehu Chay Sham." Right, he says it sounds like he grew up in Yerushalayim, not that his mother came from a faraway land. Right, again, if it's Kol Yemeim, he's being medayik in the Kol Yemeim. That's where he grew up as a little kid too. So he does try to reject that. He says, And again, he says 150 years after the Churban, Botnis is not going to be his great grandson. But they talk about again. It is possible that it comes from different places. We can suggest that it's possible it comes from his profession, it's possible it comes from, like, any last names, but there's nothing conclusive beyond this. This was sort of the conclusively understood meaning that it was his mother came from this city, and he finds a way to reject this based on this mimer that we have here, and being that it's 1 minute till the end, I think we can sum up at this point. Avshal ben Botnis may have lived... and died close to the Churban from before it, contemporaries with Rabbi Tzadok's father, which would place him, again, before the Churban. It's possible that we can read some of the sources to say that it was actually a generation or two later, that he was born sometime before the Churban, maybe 20 years, 30 years, maybe even more, and that he lived late enough that it would be possible to justify some of the other dates. Nevertheless, it seems that the first Shita has a lot more to support it, and again, the discussion of his name is a separate discussion altogether, but does tie into some of the sources that we saw. The takeaway for me is how much information we can glean from a little story like this, where Avishal is bringing something up to the Gizbar, right? Okay, we know that, and especially, again, the Raya from Maseches Machos to say his father must not have been a guy because he's asking to be buried with him, and he grew up while he meant. So anyways, it's just something that we have to open our eyes to be more aware of stuff like this when it comes up for us. Shkoyach.